scripture reading for tonight is from the letter of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 1. Galatians 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterward I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Let's take the faith of the Lord in prayer. Lord, we humbly beseech thee that thou would hear our voice, and that our hearts might be yearning for thee, for thy presence, for thy love and power, for thy goodness and mercy. We pray, Lord, all we have is an eternal soul, and never to be lost, because that soul is eternal. And it's lost if thou art not caring, not redeeming, not protecting. And O Lord, we in our nature are spoiling everything. But thou, in thy goodness, art caring and protecting. Cleanse me and sanctify. We pray that our children might understand, and that the adults might hear with ears thou hast given, and that everyone in this building might hear thy voice to live. And Lord, we confess that we are unworthy of any of thy gifts, of thy blessings, that we pray bestow them upon us. Without thee, it's empty. It's vain. It's dark. But in thee, O Lord, the light of heaven and earth is light and life, peace and grace. We pray that thou would give us to understand the scriptures. We pray, Lord, bless us by it. And we go and continue these weeks, the time that thou hast given us, to explain. Might it be by thy Spirit apply the truth of thee to our souls. Remember the sick and afflicted, those who are hopeless, but also those who had a day today of mercy, seeing thy gracious hand towards them. Lord, we pray, remember us. Without thee, we are empty, but in thee, we are full. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, by the grace of God and with the help of the Lord Himself, it's our desire to continue next Wednesdays, once in 14 days, by explaining the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Galatians. And this evening, we'll try to explain the first five verses. Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The congregation, these verses contain, in the first place, the sender, the means God used to write this letter, and it's Paul, an apostle. And secondly, the address unto the churches of Galatia, and in the verses 3 through 5, the whole content of salvation is in the greeting. The whole content of the salvation is in the greeting to the churches of Galatia. Congregation, first some words. Why did the Apostle Paul write the letter to the Galatians? We read already in verse 6 that he wrote down, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to an other gospel. There were words, things changed in the congregations of Galatia. After that, the gospel of the justification of the ungodly was preached. False brethren of Judea came in. And they had three objections against the teachings of the Apostle Paul. In the first place, they insisted that the Galatians were no true Christians until they submitted to the Jewish ordinance of circumcision. If you were not circumcised, you couldn't be a Christian, according to the Jewish Christians of Jerusalem, them which came from Jacobus. James, we say in Dutch, Jacobus, it's James. This is the first thing. So the people of Jerusalem said, you are no Christians until you submit to the ordinance of circumcision. Second, they said that every Christian had to submit to the law of Moses. Even parts of the ceremonial law, days, seasons, and all kinds of things, ceremonial things. And I would even say, and I explain it later, to the law of Moses. As we see in the Roman Catholic Church and all heresies today, that salvation seems to be a part by faith in the Lord Jesus and a part in the law, righteousness by works. When we, days, weeks, went through the city, through all the inner city missions, we never saw one mission that was faithful to faith in Christ alone as being the only thing to be saved to the glory of God. Some said you had to make a decision. But we came this week on a certain place and the man said to me, but Pastor, we never found some that made a decision than only by the grace of God. But you hear it everywhere. Even, and I would say, all over the world, sovereign grace can hardly be found today. And then the third thing, therefore Paul starts his letter, taking care of this. You know what the congregation said to weaken the gospel. But those people out of Judea, they said that Paul wasn't a true apostle. He wasn't one of the 12 original apostles. He received the doctrines of grace only secondhand, and he modified them. He changed them. Congregation, that's the most severe attack when a minister of God is said not to be a true minister. But listen, Christ had to suffer it, all the prophets and all the true disciples of Christ until today. Fear if all men jubilate when you preach. You're not a child nor a truthful prophet of Christ. And in every letter in the New Testament, you see time and again that the apostle had to defend his apostleship. You know what happened? Even Mark, the helper of Paul on the mission field, separated from him and went with Barabbas. Because Paul preached only by faith justified without the works. Only by faith in Christ Jesus. And congregation, I've said last Sunday, therefore the church is persecuted and will be. I heard this week the story of John Huss, who was burned for this gospel. Paul was neglected. And when he stood for the emperor judgment in the judgment, no one, they all forsook him, but God was with him. But if there will be any time of survival in the church today, it will be only when newly will be preached the law to condemnation and the gospel to justification. There will be only one and an all revival in the church. It will be concerning the justification of the ungodly by faith in Christ. It has ever been in church history, and Jonathan Edwards preached in the Great Awakening. He sharply rebuked the congregation about sin, little, small sins, but he opened widely the fountain of grace in his preaching in Christ Jesus. And 10,000s were converted. We live in a time, congregation, that law and gospel is mixed. To the darkness of many a soul, and not to the glory of God. Therefore, it was on my heart to preach the letter of Paul to the Galatians, to hear the glorious sound of the gospel, sovereign grace, the gospel of Christ alone. In the congregation, this attack on the doctrines of the Apostle Paul had serious consequences in church history, that there were even people at the end, the only letters of Paul accepted as the true gospel. It's a counter-movement. And we shouldn't. We should listen to the word, the living God. Those that have ears, let them hear. For the Spirit says to the congregation, Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. It's not without a reason that Paul, by the Holy Spirit, writes down, Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. I've said already that his apostleship was attacked because of the doctrine of the justification of the ungodly by faith alone in Christ. For many people in those days it was too light. It's easy. But congregation, one thing I want to say, this is the most difficult gospel ever applied to a proud soul. Therefore Paul says later, my gospel is not according to man. Although it seems, it's not. We have to lose all, to die with Christ, to gain him, raised from the dead. It's against human flesh and evil nature. So Paul, they praised him the first years of his ministry, but later on they abhorred him. like him. They forsook him and let him alone. It goes too far, but I would like to say that in the New Testament you can find two streams of the Christian church. The stream of Peter, the Judaist, on which Rome is calling himself to be the head of the church, the Pope. And it's remarkable that in the Roman Catholic Church today, a minister isn't called a minister but a priest, as in the Jewish Church. And that the Roman Catholic Church has a high priest, the Pope. And that the Roman Catholic Church in Rome has a temple with the Yachin and the Boas. It's the old doctrine of the mixing of law and gospel. Wherefore John Huss, John Calvin, Martin Luther had to die or were persecuted. In congregation, the opposite side. When God revives his church, it's by the preaching of law and gospel and faith in Christ alone into salvation. And she always attempts you. Some start the doctrine with regeneration like the Roman Catholic Church. You're born again by baptism, says the Roman Catholic Church. Then you are getting to be a saint. You have to earn your justification by holiness. And at the end of your life, you will be justified. And that scheme is coming up in the Reformed circles newly today. You have first to be holy. And at the end of your life, you must be justified. It's mixing law and gospel. To the dishonor of Christ, to the darkness of many a soul today, not to the glory of the Father. Oh, congregation, we're in dark days, these days, but God is mighty to enlighten the church with the knowledge of truth and the glory of his name. Paul, an apostle. Paul, the name means little one. He was Saul. And Saul means prayed of the Lord. Probably given by his mother. Saul, Shaul, prayed of the Lord. But every Christian in those days got a new name by baptism. When they want it, or when the church thought it should be. And I think probably Paul was given a name to him by baptism. The little one. Do you know what Paul said? I am nothing. Nothing. Grace doesn't make big people. People who are nothing, that Christ would be all and in all. So Paul, would you like to be called the little one? If you glory in grace, it's your glory to be nothing, to decrease, that high he might increase the Lord Jesus. Well, then he says an apostle. He says not the apostle, but an apostle. Apostle means a man who is sent. Apostello, Greek. Sent from someone to. And then he says, I'm sent not of man, neither by man. That was the accusation against the apostle. Then he got the doctrine of grace secondhand and he modified it. But he says, no, I'm not sent by man. The congregation of Antioch didn't send me. They didn't vote for me to go. And you know that in the congregation the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, to go to the heathens to preach the gospel. But he said, I'm not sent by man. Congregation, today we take the office too lightly. And we say, if we are voted, then we are sent. That's the question. Paul discusses it here. He said, I'm not sent in my office by man. If man changed their mind, where is your calling? Where is your sending? He said, no, not by man. Plural. And not by a man. And he means, even not that God used a man to send me, Ananias. Some people say, I believe that you have to be a minister. Be afraid of it. You need to know that you're sent by God, called, and later sent. And I know the Bible really teaches that if you desire a bishopric, it's a good desire. But I tell you a thing. If you're truly converted, you all want to be a minister. I had a family member. She was a lady. And God gave her to be a new creature. You know what he wanted to do? To preach. And if you never have wanted it, you're not converted. But that's not a calling to an office. Special office. No, not by man. But by Jesus Christ. Received it by revelation of Jesus Christ. Or let's say clearly, the Lord Jesus spoke to himself. He revealed it to him personally. A congregation. That's what we need in a calling. Otherwise you will give up. Earlier or later. But by revelation of Jesus Christ, and you've heard that Ananias said it to him, surely he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. Acts 9. Sure. Ananias was you. Sure, the congregation was used by voting and prayer. And he sent him laying on hands. And he went. But the depth of his calling was from God himself. That's what we need, personally. All can say you're saved. All can say you should go to the Lord's Supper. Surely. You're a man or a woman of God. But I ask that you're called by God to go. It's not the time and place, but I would even ask you. We can do it. But I would ask you, head by head, soul by soul, you know the voice special office. Especially congregation, when you're called to preach the truth, all the world will be your enemy. In the church, you will be despised, but you will be honored by God by true conversions to the glory of His holy name. Huntington said, many can tell about their conversion and about a calling to the ministry, but the seal of a minister is the conversion of souls to God in Christ. That's the seal of a ministry. You can tell a lot out of books, and some use the Bible and say that it said, but the seal of the ministry is conversion of souls to the glory of God. And Paul says, I labored and worked more than all, but not he, not me, but God, the grace of God that was with me. Called by Jesus Christ and God the Father. The Lord Jesus says, and he said in the Gospel of John 5:19a, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth his the Father to do. Everything the Son does, the Father does. Everything the Father says, the Son says. He is sent by the Father to do the work of the Father. And he says, the Father has sent me, also I send you. As sheep between lions, between wolves, I send you. So when Christ sends, the Father sends. Especially some people today say the Father says something different than Christ. It's an old heresy in the church. The Father is the judge, and Christ is the Savior. There were people in the old church who said, God, the Old Testament is the judge full of wrath, and the God of the New Testament is Christ full of mercy. It's not true. As Christ is the Father, full of mercy. And as the Father is Christ, if you have seen me, seen the Father. Christ loved righteousness as the Father loved. Christ is just as the Father is just. The ends of the ages. The Father. Therefore, the Lord Jesus had said that they had to go out. Therefore, go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, that's the sender, of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Paul was also sent and sealed in his sending by the Holy Spirit. We have talking about it when we spoke about the congregation of Antioch. And then of God the Father who raised him from the dead. Why? Well, congregation, the Bible teaches in Romans 10, Paul says, that if you shalt confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If Christ wasn't raised, if there was no resurrection, there was no gospel. The gospel is that God the Father raised the Son out of the dead, accepted the ransom. And therefore Paul says on another place, he says he died for our sins and he was resurrected for our justification. What's justification? To be made just before God, to meet him in peace. The gospel is not only the gospel of Christ, and I say it again, it's also the gospel of the Father who raised him from the dead. Or I can better say, it's the gospel of the Father and of Christ. The Son is not anti the Father or the Father against his Son. No. It's one gospel. The Creator redeemed his people in the sacrifice of his Son. It's the Father who gave his Son to be a father of ungodly, who received the adoption in the spirit of adoption out of the gospel of Christ, out of the communion with him. Because they thought he isn't an apostle. He is not telling the truth. Remember, sometimes you start a congregation and after some years they despise the minister. It can happen. Think about it, you're not the first. And won't be the last. When Jonathan Edwards, in his last congregation, he was used for 200 people, two conversions. And in his last congregation, they voted him out as a minister. And he ended his ministry in a small congregation of 40 people. Must increase and I must decrease. Is that your glory, your honor? Even when your last sermon would be warning against the remarriage. What did you say, Pastor? Warning against the remarriage. Well, who did it? John the Baptist. He said that Herod shouldn't remarry with the wife of his brother. In America, and I heard yesterday, even in evangelical congregations, it seems to be normal to remarry. In the midst of the congregation, we shouldn't. Even if it will take her office. We can't confirm them according to the word of our God. And John the Baptist took his hand. But we should be faithful. He had to decrease. But congregation is another thing. If they tell that you are not a true apostle, there is no authority in preaching. Therefore, the Bible teaches that the good name is better than good oil. If you have not a good name, it's an obstacle in preaching. Doubting is going on, right? Is he? Is it the truth? So what Paul is underlining in this first sentence is, I am sent by God, and we know what it means. I preach the word of God. He didn't say, perhaps I'm not, I don't know exactly. It seems to be today, if you don't know, it's better than knowing. Doubting, says Rome, is better than assurance in Trent. The Roman Catholic Church condemns those who believe assuredly as the work of a triune God. And I'm not saying the Church is not doubting, but it's not a sign of faith to doubt, but it's a sign of unbelief. For God is not yea and no. God is yea and amen. And see, the apostle had to underline that he was an apostle sent by Jesus Christ and God the Father. That what he said and will say in his letter is said by Christ. Congregation, our ministry and your ministry as elder, or where you preach the word, has to be sure. Not deceiving souls. You think if you're preaching, I don't know, could be that it is authority, that it will be used. You're more a devil servant. He's always saying, yeah, I don't know. Authority. If your father doesn't know, would you trust the matter? But if your father comes home and he says, I know, it's cheering up in the family, isn't it? Father knows. We live in a time and age, it's better not to know to sure. Everyone is some. Mormon and Muslims and Roman Catholics. I had a talk this week with a man in the garage, and he said, but Pastor, I'm not judging. I'm not judgmental. It's a word here in the States, judgmental. It seems to be judgmental if you preach the truth and condemn sin. It isn't. And then people say to me, Pastor, but yeah, I'm not better. You're not telling you're better if you preach the word. You're sent by God to preach His word. And do you think God is like this? How shall we trust if God would be yea and no? Congregation, the authority is given to those who are sent by God's self. Sent from to, with the message, with the word, with the letter of Galatians. He said, I appeal to God, He sent me to write it. It is the divine truth. And I'm not misleading you. I'm sent by Jesus Christ. By God the Father, who raised him from the dead to justify his own people, will he raise from the dead, spiritual death. And another thing why he was truth, and said that he was truth, and all the brethren which are with me, if there is no communion in truth, there is no truth. If you think that you know it alone, you don't know it. Did you identify it? Intersubjectivity is objectivity, to say it in a certain sense. And I mean this. Communion of saints is in the body of Christ. They have the same faith, the same hope, the same love. Sometimes you meet one, maybe down in the United States, and he opens his mouth, and you say, yeah, amen. They love him. And he knows the same Lord. The same way of salvation. And he has the same love. And the same joy. in the same grave. And he was not in your church. But he's a member of Christ. And if you see Christ in him, the communion of saints, all the brethren which are with me, they were probably with him when he wrote the letter. Or does he mean all the brethren which are with me? Was there tension in the church? I think it was. And then congregation, the address, unto the churches of Galatia. Well, congregation, churches is ecclesia. Ecclesia means called out of this world. The Bible teaches it. Paul says it, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. So the churches of Galatia, ecclesia, the word church you can never find in the Bible. The word church comes from kuriake, and it means what is of the Lord, but it's not a biblical word, it's a word of the first ages of Christianity, kuriake. And it means what's of the Lord. The church, church means what is of the Lord. It's not our church, I would say. What is of the Lord, church means. The congregation, Paul uses the word ecclesia. Ecclesia was a gathering of free people to a free state. When in Rome, a city was there, the people of the free people of that city were called to a meeting of free men to govern. So the ecclesia, those who were called to a meeting to govern, to be member of a free state. And I think that's a wonderful thought. Out of slavery, out of darkness, called by effectual calling of the gospel, by the work of word and spirit, to a free state of free man, in a dark time. In congregation, if you listen to the word church, it means above all the church of all places and ages. The Catholic Church, not the Roman Catholic Church, but the Catholic Church. And in the second place, it means churches. The first church, the body of Christ, called out of darkness to the marvelous light by the power of words and spirit. And secondly, churches. I have to say something. I don't read in the Bible Old Reformed, Netherlands Reformed Congregation, RCA. We say today, churches. Nonsense. There's only one church, and if you would speak about churches, then it's the church of Ephesus, the church at Corinth, or the church at home. There's one church. And congregation, I won't allow more words concerning it, but today we have all kinds of churches. We separate ourselves from the church. And you can say to me, Pastor, do we need to go back to the Roman Catholic Church? I'm not saying it. But separation is different from reformation. Churches. And I'm not saying, congregation, that churches, that church. I've been in the Netherlands and I started out to preach in the north. And there was Article 31 in the north. Do you know what the minister said to me? He said, you are heavy reformed. He said, you should join our church. You don't fit in the reformed church, he said. I said, Pastor, His doctor. His doctor. I said, Pastor, I'm not. God has his people in the church and the ministers and will stay. And God can revive them. He said to me, wait a moment, now you separated yourselves from the true church, and we are the true church, isn't it? I came down and I met the Netherlands Reformed Congregation and some ministers, Erwin Block. He said, Veltman, what are you doing in that old church? You should join us. I said, no, Block. You're there, I'm here. And God has his people and he blesses the ministry. And he will bless you too. He says, you preach in my pulpit. You welcome on mine and I'm not going to yours. You belong to us. He said, it's true. I'm a stranger sometimes in my own church. I feel home. But you're consistent. And I met the Free Reformed. He said, we are the true church, Pastor. We know the balance between responsibility and the work of God, and that's our balance. We are the most pure revelation of the Church of Christ. We are. And you should join. No, man. You shouldn't elaborate like this. I should. And I have to. Because Paul says the church. What's the church? Article 28. Those who are called out of the darkness by Christ into faith and salvation. There is the church. Ecclesiola and Ecclesia. The little church in the church. It isn't easy. We like the majority. Says you have to find little things in little things. It's my church. And I revive it my way. Church. So it means, biblically seen, there's in Grand Rapids only one church. Ephesus. Rome. Galatians, and there were all the churches around him, Derb and other churches, and can go into it, south of Galatia, the Roman province, probably. You don't know exactly. The churches of Galatia. And then the greeting containing the true gospel. It said to the congregation, grace be unto you and peace. Isn't it strange that the apostle says, grace be unto you? Wasn't it that they had grace already? The brethren, communion of saints. Isn't it that Christ, by one sacrifice, sanctified his church? Isn't it? But we know that in the gospel it said that out of his fullness ye have received grace for grace. It said instead of grace, always grace. And congregation, it's true, with one sacrifice he has sanctified his people once for all. When he cried out, it's finished. But we need grace after grace. I mean, if you receive grace, you need more grace. Isn't it amazing grace? congregation when the apostle says, grace be unto you and peace, that's the application of grace. We can also say it has to do with the content of the letter. You're not under the law, but under grace. And I want to say this congregation, grace, says the apostle in the letter, is the ruling power of the children of God, grace. Not the law. Grace abounding, says John Bunyan, for the chief of sinners, grace. What's grace? That's mercy for a condemned and sentenced sinner to hell. You know when you deserve most? After grace. Sitting against life. Congregation, it's the week of preparation for the Lord's Supper. And it's true there is one baptism. To be in Christ is a sign of sealing. But the Lord's Supper is not once, it's time and again. Come as a shamed sinner. There's a sense of sin. To abhor yourself. To flee to the righteousness of Christ. And to pray the Spirit of fruits. Sanctification. Read in Zechariah 13 verse 1. You know what grace is? There's a fountain. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. If you're once cleansed, it's true once for all. But you need cleansing every day. You know why? You're spotting. Making dirt the white robes of justification. Surely, congregation, once for all. But now I go to the second word, peace. I said grace is the ruling principle, but more even, peace is the ruling principle by which Christ rules the church. You say, Paul says in Romans 3 verse 17, it's a proof that the heathens have not known the way of peace. The way is the way is life of peace. He says in Romans 8, and he speaks again about it, and he says, but to spiritual minded is life and peace. Romans 8 verse 6. And then in Philippians, and I get another example, Philippians 4 verse 7, he says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So what's the ruling principle of a Christian by the Holy Spirit? Peace! Why don't do I what I should like to do by my evil nature? I'm losing peace. If I have not exercised grace, I'm losing peace. You know what's the worst thing in a Christian life? Losing peace. Congregation, may I ask you, you are a child of God. You know what it is to lose peace. I know. Walk walking from room to room, no peace. Going on the pulpit, no peace. Driving a car, no peace. Where is God? Congregation, if you're a Christian, to lose peace is bitter than to lose life. For peace with God surpasses all understanding. Why can't I do this? We had a meeting yesterday, it's a night meeting. I'm not saying anything of it, but just to illustrate. The pastor said you have to make a choice and a stand, and I'm not saying you not. But then I asked the pastor at the end of the meeting and said, Pastor, do you think that Moses made a stand? He had a choice. Yeah, the Bible says he chose. But do you think that Moses at the court of Egypt, in the palace of Pharaoh, had peace? I think Moses in the palace of Pharaoh had a health, and he better lived in the little huts under the threat of the army of Pharaoh with the people of God and in the courts of the king of Egypt. Isn't it your choice? All the world is seeking for peace. You know, the communists had a thing out it's gone in, all the pride of man is gone into nothing. So don't live for it. But the communists had a satellite. You could live there. People in America, they failed. They had already some millions to go there. Ah, crazy. But you know how they called that satellite where you could live in for a while? Mir. You know what Mir means? Peace. It was the ultimate goal of the communists. When everyone would share all the things of the world, there would be peace. No peace! Now I ask you, if you're a Christian, have you ever had peace with God as an ungodly, as a condemned sinner by faith in Christ? Then that peace, congregation, is better than life. It's surpassing all understanding. And missing that peace, Paul says, that's it, grace, Christ. And the fruit of grace is peace. Experience grace with peace. Peace with God. Peace with man. Peace with your cross. I heard the other day that John Huss was burned at the stake. And he sang, peace, have mercy upon me, Lord Jesus. And he sang it until his voice couldn't sing anymore. My children, that peace is worth more than billions of dollars. That peace with God by Christ Jesus. You know what that's the best wish Paul could wish. Peace. And he knew they had no peace. If you rest in the law, they had no peace. If you rest in good works, you have no peace. A Roman Catholic has no peace. My brother, and I know Robert Champagne, he said, have you ever seen a Roman Catholic with joy in his church? No, no. Why don't they have peace? They have no good works in life. They mix law and gospel. Then there is no peace. No peace. And now I go to you. If you want to go to the confession, let's say, to the Lord's Supper, and you want to go with your own works, your own tears, you know what the forum says, that you have to know yourself and abhor yourself. But the second thing the forum says, you have to believe that all your sins are forgiven. That's peace. Otherwise, you can't come to the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is nothing and is no admission to if you don't believe in Christ that your sins are forgiven. The Lord's Supper is not given to forgive sins, but to strengthen faith that your sins are forgiven. You can be attacked and you can have a weak faith, but faith is faith. Some people say to me, Pastor, the Lord's Supper is for people, for sinners. I said, no. For saved sins, yes. Who know what's peace. Children, have you peace? My dear, to have peace with God is the best gift you can get. You can die and live. I've seen young men dying. They said, my pastor, see ya. I'm going home. And he had peace not to have the farm anymore. He had peace to leave father and mother. Peace with God. In congregation, Paul speaks here about application. Be unto you. Peace. From God the Father. And from our Lord Jesus Christ, peace with God. And then he is explaining how, who gave himself for our sins, once for all. Christ is the mediator of marriage. I had a barber. Last week, and the man had a cross around his neck, and on the cross is the body of Christ. And I asked him, and I said, do you believe, Barbara, that Christ is suffering yet? And he said, no, I don't believe that. He said, I think you don't know Christ, otherwise you wouldn't carry this cross. Or are you a Roman Catholic? I said, no, my wife liked it and she gave it to me. He said, no. I said, are you a Christian? Oh, probably. He said, I think that probably not. For Christ died once for all, and he is not at the cross, he's resurrected. We don't need a visible cross. We don't know him anymore according to the flesh. We know him only by the Spirit. Those who confess the Lord, confess him in spirit and truth, in spiritual religion, by the word and spirit alone. I said, but I have a question. Do you have peace? Do you know what he said? He said, no. I said, I know. You don't have a Christ. Finished his work. You can't have peace. You don't know it. My dear brethren, who gave himself for our sins? confess it by faith. Paul didn't say, who saith, he gave himself for the sins of his people. Some say it today. No, he is believed in, and he says, for our sins, mine and your sins. That's confession. The congregation, this truth needs to be applied. Some will say, who gave himself for the sins of his people. But we need the application for our sins. That's the foundation, the merits of Christ, that he might deliver us. It means this, that on the foundation of his merits, he is applying it through spirit and word, through the preaching of the word, that sinners and ungodly might be justified. That he might deliver us. And the word deliver us is nice. Deliver us means this. He is raising his people out of the evil world of this day. Taking them out of the miry clay, out of the pit. That he might deliver us. So you see two things, eh? First, it's finished. But secondly, that that finished work must be applied. That not only in the scripture it said it's finished, but that's said here too, it's finished. Not only for others, but also for me. That he might deliver us from this present evil world. You know what Paul says about the world? We say today it's an evil world. Paul said then it was an evil world. Lots of temples with harlots, prostitutes. Lots of separation. The days of Paul were the days of today. He calls it an evil world, not a dark world, but an evil world, poneros. And evil means, evil is more than sin. Evil is aggressive sin. The sins were aggressive. The sins were hurting. People were evil. You can have sometimes evil people. You see it in their faces. They have one purpose, to destroy it. Evil is more than bad. Bad is almost neutral. Not bad, they say, not bad. Evil world. Fathers and mothers separating. Children hurt. Evil. No faithfulness. Lie. And distrust. Evil world. We are in, children, you're in an evil world. But what a wonder. If by the cross of Christ, the application of spirit and truth, you might say, he delivered me, took me out into his kingdom, to his glory. According to the will of God our Father, it's his good pleasure to take his people out of this evil world. I don't belong there anymore. I have peace with God. It doesn't matter if I'm rich or poor, old or young, of all kinds of titles, have an honorable name in the world. Lots of luck, they say today. If I'm peace with God, I don't belong to this world anymore. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. If you love the Father and me, the world will hate you. But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This evil aeon materialistically, physically. But world means time and age. And it means this evil world, there will come a time that the aeon, the world, will be known. And there's a part God has taken some out of it to live for the new Jerusalem, the world to come. And the end, to whom be the glory. And then the same word, forever and ever. That's from world to world. Same word as world. From eternity to eternity. There will come a time that Paul says that the church of God will praise their God in Christ from eternity to eternity. If a wretch am I, are by grace saved, wouldn't I need eternity to praise my God? To whom be the glory, the doxa, glory of God. He is glorious. To whom be the glory? That's the uttermost end of salvation, of creation, the glory of God forever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank Thee that we have Thy word, and that Paul stated that's not modified, not changed, but reliable and true. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would bless this word for many a soul. And if we were bold, we were bold because Thou art bold. It's not a half gospel and a half truth. It's fully true. Eternal truth. O Lord, remember us in mercy.